Once more, our readings highlight a common theme we've been having in this season after Pentecost, that our understanding is limited. As we see today, sometimes we're not even aware of our own limitations, and other times we are. In our gospel reading, Jesus lays out a successive stories of the kingdom of heaven, and then asks the disciples if they have understood all of this. And they say yes. And we, of course, know that they do not understand everything that Jesus has said, just as we struggle to understand. But they believe that they do. They're not aware of their own limitations. This is unlike Solomon today, who realizes his limitations, who knows he is but a child, and asks God for wisdom and discernment, asks God to be able to know good and evil, so that he can render just judgments. He realizes that in this matter he is but a child, not knowing how to properly distinguish good from evil. And indeed, this reality is ours as well. We are but children, not always understanding what is good and what is evil. Don't always know how to determine those two things in this world. And as Solomon demonstrates to us, I think, even if we did know how to determine good from evil, we wouldn't know how to respond to that. We wouldn't always know what actions we should take in light of that truth. And so we see both of these issues on display. I think our gospel reading that talks about those fish being caught in the net and how it's the angels who are sent to separate the good from the evil. It is not humanity. We are the fish. We lack the capacity to judge other fish as good or evil. There is others who must do this. So we know we are limited in that regard. But then as Solomon's story reminds us that even if we could distinguish good from evil, this does not automatically mean we know how we should respond. Solomon was very wise and could render good judgment from time to time, but we also know from his own lifestyle that he, even if he knew good and evil, didn't always abide by God's law and didn't ensure that those around him did either. And so this is our challenge. What we ultimately have to recognize then is that we must trust in God and lean not upon our own understanding. We must realize that God's understanding differs from ours, and that is the one that we should pay attention to. I think the parables Jesus tells us today highlight this same truth. Jesus is talking to us about things initially that are very small but have a great impact, whether that's the tiny mustard seed that grows into the giant shrub, or whether that's the little bit of leaven in the dough that causes the whole thing to rise. But these stories are not just about something small having a big impact. This is about something small that is qualitatively different from the stuff around it. We couldn't get a giant shrub by just adding a little bit of dirt into dirt, or even adding a wheat seed. It matters that it is specifically a mustard seed that has this effect. Same thing with the flour. We couldn't have the dough rise just by adding more flour, or we could add a whole bunch of other things, water, oil, sugar. None of those are going to have leavening properties to them either, small or large amounts, but a little bit of yeast is all it takes to leaven the whole loaf. And so what I think Jesus is getting at here is that the kingdom of heaven is qualitatively different from this world, from our understanding. It works at a different level, and even just a little bit of it will have a huge impact in our lives and in this world. I think that same idea again is indicated in the next two stories of this person who finds the treasure in the field, sells all that he has to buy the field, the merchant who is in search of the valuable pearls. It is not all the people who see this treasure. It is not all the people, all the merchants who recognize this pearl. It is just one. And they see the value and they give all of themselves for it. So too, Is it rare for us to see the true value of the kingdom of heaven and to give ourselves away for it, even though this is exactly what is asked of us, even though this is exactly what we should do? Jesus affirms, yes, it was good for him to sell all that he had to buy this field. Yes, it was good to give everything he had in order to purchase this pearl of great value. So we know then what we need is exactly what Solomon asked for. We need God to help us to have this right discernment, to see the kingdom of heaven and value it appropriately, and to then respond appropriately too, that we should be willing to give our whole selves, all that we have, away for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Of course, we know this is a challenge for us. It's difficult for us to give everything away. We usually want to hold some back. We always aren't sure. Is this the kingdom of heaven for sure? Is it really that valuable? And so we're a little bit reserved. Often I think we kind of play into Paul's words today in Romans that all things work together for good for those who love God. And so we expect all things to be good for us in order for us to continue to give ourselves. We're like, well, we'll dabble in that whole kingdom of God thing, but is it going to be helpful? Is it going to be good for us? And if so, then we'll continue and we will give God our love. But as we've already said, we can't even distinguish what is good and what is evil. We can't even understand if good is being worked out for us. There are things we may even label as bad or evil or wrong that are actually good and right and wonderful. So this is a terrible matrix for us to determine if we should continue following God, which I think is why Paul moves in the direction that he does within our reading today, so that we don't focus on how we would love God and how that would be bring about good. No, instead, what we focus on is on God's steadfast love for us. That God wants to draw near to us. That Paul says there is this Holy Spirit that is shared with us. That even though we don't understand things properly, even though we can't define good and evil, that Spirit can communicate all of our thoughts, all of our hurt, all of our wounds, what is weighing upon us to God, even if we lack the words to do so. And the Spirit at the same time will bring that before God in accordance with God's will. I hope you catch that in the text. The Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with the will of God. It is not our will that gets to go up to God, where we say, Lord, this is how we think the world should be run, or this is what we need right now. No, all of that gets translated into what God's will would be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And through the Spirit, then God enters into our lives and draws near to us. Says, yes, I have heard you. Yes, I am walking with you. God says, in all of the good and the bad of this world and everything that you experience, I am here. And God longs to share God's presence with us. And so, knowing that God is with us, knowing that what Christ has done for us, we can flip Paul's saying around with every confidence. All things work together for good because God loves us, because God cares about us. And as Paul says, there is nothing in heaven or on earth, not even death itself, could separate us from the love of God revealed to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. And it is that confidence that sends us out into the world to live in qualitatively different ways because we have experienced a qualitatively different love. This love of God is unlike anything we have seen or experienced in this world. It is unconditional. It is complete. God has drawn near to us and found a way to draw out our good and destroy our evil. And what we discover in this then is that God behaves a little bit differently than us. We think, oh, if we could just know the distinction between good and evil, we can make right judgments and we could do the right stuff in this world, and that's what would be needed. But Solomon shows to us that that is not the right solution. We could have all the wisdom from God, and we still could not bring about the kingdom of heaven. Solomon doesn't do that. We could have all this wisdom of God, and we can't even live right ourselves, which also Solomon does not do. And so what we need instead is for God to work in ways that does not make sense, to bring God's goodness to bear in a way that does not render just judgments, but demonstrates grace and mercy in such an absolute way that it is nonsensical, that God would forgive us of our sins and restore us to life, that God would long to work good for us. And this is what we see at the cross. This is exactly what Christ does for us. Here, the Word of God enters into this created world and is cast like a net, drawing us, our whole selves, together into this kingdom of God. There it is, our good and our evil. And through the cross, Christ finds a way to separate us from our evil and throw that away, to destroy it and bring us into a newness of life where there is only goodness. Through the cross, we experience the forgiveness of our sins and the opportunity to walk in newness of life. And this is a qualitatively different reality that we get to experience thanks to what Christ has done for us. This is what we experience again today in this meal that we share. Here we get a glimpse of this Word of God still sharing with us God's grace, still offering us the forgiveness of sins in this feast that we share, as Christ enters in ways that do not make sense, that this bread and wine might become Christ's own body and blood. And as we taste and see the goodness of God, as we experience the qualitatively different way of loving that God has for us, we too become like mustard seeds. We too are invited to celebrate and share this qualitatively different love. For just this little bit of bread and wine enters into us and changes us. We have become leavened. We are invited to grow, that we might shelter others in the big shrub of our mustard seed hearts, that we might be able to extend the same love we have received here. And for these gifts of life and love that God shares with us, these gifts that we don't fully understand and yet mean goodness and life for us and for all, for such gifts as these, we can only say in response, thanks be to God. Amen.